And so what I'm going to be talking about here is going to be talking about Jesus' birth and how it was such an unusual event. And it's going to be out of Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. I'm sure most of you guys are, chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. I'm sure most of you guys are familiar with that passage. It's about the birth of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read that passage. It's in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. Let's see here. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. When Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived is in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Father God, thank you so much, Lord, for this evening. Thank you, God, for your blessings and your mercy and your love, Lord, for us, God. We just thank you, Lord, for that free gift. Lord, as I preach here this evening, Lord, I pray you would anoint this preaching and your word, Lord, as we preach here tonight, God. I just want to pray that there's hearts here, Lord, that need to hear your word, Father, and that they would accept it, Lord, and that we would be able to be blessed by that, God. And we just want to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the coming of the Son, God's Son, into the world was one of the most phenomenal events in all of history. And it necessitated and caused some very unusual events as we know of. And because, first thing, Jesus' birth was spirit, was of the spirit. And I remember also, even after I got married and had started having children, we had people of friends come to us and say, are you going to teach your children about Santa Claus? Says, no. They said, why not? You're going to take the Christmas spirit out. Really? Really? You're not going to take this Christmas spirit out. And I said, no, we're not going to teach our children that there's a Santa, because there is no Santa Claus. So for those that are listening, don't get disappointed at me. There is no Santa Claus. Jesus' birth was of the Spirit. Never before had a man been born of the Holy Spirit, but Jesus was. A person either accepts the evidence of Scripture, or accepts the evidence of Scripture at this point, or rejects it. The Scripture is clear in what it says. Before they came together, it says, before they came together, she, which was Mary, was found with child of the Holy Spirit, it says. And so it's a matter of faith, and it's a matter of faith and trust in God of love, which who is revealed in Scripture as caring for man with an eternal and perfect love, also who set out to save man from his sins. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And also who caused the greatest event of human history, God becoming one. He was one who caused the greatest event of human history, God becoming one with man, God with us, it says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So I want you to think about this, because Jesus' birth created a great predicament here for Joseph. A great predicament. Joseph faced a great predicament of his life. The words where it says, a just man and not willing to make her a public example, show a deeply and a troubled spirit. Because Joseph was literally torn between obeying the law and also exposing Mary to the authorities. So I want you to think for a moment how that would be. He was obeying the law, or he was torn between obeying the law and exposing Mary to the authorities, and also his love for Mary. He struggled, for he was perplexed, and then he was troubled and disappointed. And you can imagine, imagination probably ran pretty wild, knowing what's going to take place here, because one thing he did is he felt probably deceived. And he probably was experiencing jealousy and rage, because it would make him think that Mary probably had committed some sort of act of adultery against him. Yet he cared for her, and then he loved her deeply. He did not want Mary to be hurt. And then Jesus' birth creates a predicament for every man as well, for every single human being. And I want you to imagine the emotions and the hurt that Joseph felt in the discovery of Mary, when he found out that Mary was pregnant, which was his fiancée or his espoused, for lack of better terms. In other words, it was his girlfriend or his fiancée. Yeah, his fiancée. And so I want you to imagine the thought that must have flooded his mind, what he was thought, what a predicament Jesus' birth created for Joseph. Jesus' birth creates a predicament for every man, and every man is now forced to make a decision about Christ and his claims. Every man is now forced to make a decision about Christ and his claims. We know that there's no room for gossip, judgment among God's people. In Joseph's mind, Mary's sin was great. And I heard a message one time, and it really hit me, about how real that was when Mary was pregnant, and here was Joseph, her spouse, how she was supposed to get married, and yet this is something that is supposed to be of God, which it was of God. Had she committed whoredom against him, but yet he still truly loved her. It was just this love that helped him in his treatment for her. Love shall cover a multitude of sins. In 1 Peter 4, verse 8, it says, a person who truly loves cannot be critical. A person who truly loves cannot be judgmental. A person who loves will not talk or gossip or criticize. He will get along with God. He will get alone with God and pray about the problem. And that's exactly what Joseph did. He prayed about the problem. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sakes has forgiven you. And in 1 Peter 4:8, it says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. So you can imagine what was taking place here, because Joseph and Mary, they were both believers. And believers are not to be unequally yoked. And they knew that at the time. Joseph was a just man. Mary was a virtuous man, a woman. Both were godly. They were believers. Believers should be careful. And today, believers should be careful in selecting their companions for marriage. And that's what they were trying to do. But yet, this took place. In 2 Corinthians, it says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And so there's real wisdom in taking time to confirm one's decision to marry. I knew that even when I married Polly. But I think that was actually an act of God all the way, because I sure took a leap of faith to do that. And I am so thankful that I did. But I agree that there is real wisdom in taking time to confirm one's decision to marry. It's much better to delay and be sure than to rush and be sorry. So a waiting period before marriage is wise, we know. It gives God time to melt and mold the couple into one being spiritually. Much more time than in a quick marriage. It also allows more time for a couple to grow together before being married. And we don't know, I don't believe, how long Joseph and Mary were espoused together, but I believe they were espoused together for a while. But having spent time together prevents a multitude of heartaches and much pain. And then Jesus' birth necessitated a special revelation. Necessitated means make something or necessary as a result or consequences. So I want you to notice the words here where he said, while he thought on these things. Get where that verse is. Verse 20 says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Joseph did just what he should have done. He waited. He thought on these things as what we should do when we come into a predicament. Because he got alone with God to think and pray through this predicament. Because of his godly dependence and obedience, God met his need. If we're obedient and we listen to God, he'll meet our need. God gave Joseph a special revelation because God's purpose was fourfold. First one being to give assurance to Joseph. Because when the angel called Joseph, thou son of David, Joseph was shocked. He was awakened to the call. He was chosen by God. And as the son of David, to be the earthly father to the son of David, which was the Messiah. All Jews knew the prophecy that said the Messiah was to be a line of David. And Joseph knew them. But to hear himself addressed as Joseph, thou son of David, quickened his attention and alerted him to an extremely important message here. And so it indicated to some degree a divine call. And remember, it was to give Joseph assurance. And Joseph was only just a humble carpenter. And two of the fourfold is to guide Joseph. And three, to explain the predicament. And to number four, to reveal the destiny of the promised child. So there is right away to confront traumatic experiences. Because Joseph demonstrated the right way. He alone and thought on these things. In Matthew 1:20 it says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. Being a just and godly man, he got alone with God and he shared his thoughts with God. He probably wept as a child, pouring out his soul to God. And believers often weep when facing terrible trials. I don't know about you, but I know I do. When there's a sorrow thing going on in my life, I know I cry a lot and I talk to God a lot. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that because I know growing up Amish, I know that when I cried, I had some incident that took place that I got accused of something that I didn't do and I was just a young child and I got shaken by an Amish guy. He held me by the collar and he just beat me up against the wall like that. So don't you ever do that again. And actually, I was guilty of that incident. I forgot, but I was guilty of that incident. But it was things that took place, and I remember crying about it. I was guilty of that incident. Anyways, I was crying about that on the way home, and I was crying about it, and I remember one of my uncles came over to me, and he said, Samuel, what are you crying about? And I told him the story. He said, little boys don't cry. They don't cry. You don't need to be crying. That's silly for you to cry like that. And from that day forward, I often had a hard time getting emotional because I thought men are not supposed to cry. I thought boys are not supposed to cry. But it wasn't until after I got saved and understood and received the love of Christ that it's okay to weep. It's okay to weep when you face terrible times or trials, when you lose a loved one. There's nothing wrong with that. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 to 16, it says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with feeling in our infirmities, but with in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. John 15:7, it says, if ye abide in me, my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and ye shall be done unto you. And it shall be done unto you. And then James 5:13 says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing. Psalms. So there's a way to conquer criticism, murmuring, and censorious judgment. I was when we were down at Westwood Baptist Church, that community all around Fort Walton Beach is just full of military. It's all military-based down there. And when you go to church there, about every guy that you talk to, that's their church is some sort of military, some kind of military, something of military. And I was talking to an individual there, and I was saying, how can you, are you, since you know that you're, you know where you're going when you die, you're okay with, you know, things. He says, absolutely. He said, guys look at me and think I'm crazy. They think I'm silly, and they don't want to believe that I know where I'm going. He said, I'm just 100% certain that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. And we talked a little bit about that, about other people, other men that are in the military that are just scared. He said, I've seen men drain, their faces just drain and scared to death, and they didn't do it. And he said, I would just go forward in front of them and just show them the way or whatever it was. He's, I guess, a leader or whatever it was. So my point is there's a way to conquer criticism, murmuring, and judgment. There's a way to conquer that, but it's only in Christ. That's the only way that you can conquer that. And it is to do what Joseph did, and that is hush, keep quiet, and get alone with God to discuss the matter. I know when we were getting ready to leave Fort Walton Beach yesterday morning, it was I wanted to be on the road by 7 o'clock. And Brother Phil, would you know everything I'm going to say, because you probably had all those problems too. But you think you got everything just in order and everything's going to go just as smooth as could be. You get down there and you get up of a morning and get ready to go, and a slide out don't want to come in. The big slide out on the RV does not want to come in. What do? Get frustrated. You just want to get so frustrated and like, why do they sell me these things? I just it's just so frustrating. He just doesn't want to go. And I always have to think of Phil when I have a problem. Always have to think of him and the times that he had to travel and had RV issues or whatever. Maybe he didn't have as much as I did. I don't know. But I literally sat down there and I just prayed. I said, Lord, we want to get home today. Today we want to get home. So help me figure out something. And so I ended up taking two motors out and pushing the RV, the thing in. And that's how we came home with it. But it's to get alone with God to discuss the matter. And it seems that it never fails, that every time that we do, God answers one way, shape, or form. He answers. Instead of us taking it in our own hands and doing what we want to do and how we want to do it, it always ends up in a failure. So God met Joseph when he took took time to get alone and to think. The right frame of mind is essential in order to hear and receive the message of God. Well, I wasn't quite my right frame of mind yesterday morning at first. Nothing was going right because I was working so hard trying to do that. Once I gave up and prayed and talked to God and got alone with God, then things worked out. So a believer who gets alone with God and thinks through the trials, confronting him, will be met by God. And God will give the assurance and guide the believer. He will guide you. He will give you that assurance, and he will guide you. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, but seek ye the first of the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So a person is to say yes to God's call. I know God called me to the ministry, and I feel like that God, I just feel like there's way more qualified than what is for me. Joseph received the call of God and accepted God's call and was obedient. Most people reject God's call. Many are called, but few are chosen. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 16, it says, the vast majority of people called by God, or persons called by God, are from humble stations in life. And Joseph came from that station, from a humble station in life. And another person that did too, and that's Jesus Christ. He came from that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. His name was Jesus. God chose his name and instructed that he be called by that name. Every person should know and call upon the name of Jesus. He is the door, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus' mission was to save. God gave him his mission, his purpose for living. God gives the mission, the purpose for every person's life who looks to God as Jesus looked. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, it says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. In Luke 19, 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I sent you. So there's a spirit that we can believe in. Believe in the spirit that Jesus was hung on the cross, was buried, and was raised again on the third day. That's what we can believe. Believe that spirit. We don't have to believe the spirit of Santa or that there's a spirit of Christmas, that you're going to lose that spirit of Christmas if you don't believe in Santa. That's a bunch of blarkey. What we need to believe is in what Jesus did and the free gift that he had, like Pastor preached this morning. And in order to receive that gift, in order to have that spirit, it says in John chapter 3, verse 5 and 7, it says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You can come up, Pastor. And said, in Matthew 18, verse 3, it says, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to believe in my Jesus Christ. I'm going to believe that birth that took place and that Jesus was hung on the cross and that he was buried and was raised again. I'm going to believe that versus any other worldly thing that there is out there. And God forbid that anybody ever teaches my children about a Santa Claus, because there is no Santa Claus.